Thursday, 10th of April, Lil Shishi Torah Way, Rabbi Aubrey Hirsch, Parsha Shir.
So, since it's both Parsha Zachar and Moshe and Erev Pesach, we'll try and fuse the two together to some degree, try and bring those two into a singular focus. Most Kehillos have the minhag that at some stage after benching, generally after the second family fight of the evening, they fill up the fifth kois. And before, after Shvech HaMos, or whenever, fill up the kois and they leave it on the table. Shake the table a bit, especially if there are children there, because obviously Eliyahu Novi came to visit. And at the end of Seder, either chveis is poured back in the wine, or it's covered and kept for kiddush. But in one way or another, nothing really constructive is done with this kois. And the reason for it is that there are five lashonos of geula in Parshas Va'era. The first four were mukuyim, but the fifth, the hevesi, has not taken place in its completion, and therefore, since the geula of that fifth kois hasn't happened, you can't drink the fifth kois. To which the obvious question occurs, that in that case, why pour the fifth kois? It's not a kois. It's non-existent. It hopefully will happen, and bekorev mamash, but at the moment, it hasn't taken place. Why the kois? A similar question is with regards to the penultimate paragraph of Seder night, and that is Echod Mi'odea, where we ask a series of questions, and the answers don't seem to be particularly relevant to Leil Seder. They don't seem to be relevant to Pesach at all. I mean, there's some obvious ones which they've missed. The answer to three should have been three matzahs. The answer to four should have been four kosas. So its stum seems to be a general fitting in of numbers to certain ideas in Yiddishkeit. I say in Yiddishkeit, but the truth is when you get to the ninth one, the Tisha Yarche Leidah, that's not unique to Yidden. So it seems to be stum, a random collection of numbers. And the question is, what are we trying to achieve with this Echod Mi'odea? And if it's somehow to keep the kids interested, by then they're asleep. And perhaps the better way is, ask the Echod Mi'odea at the beginning of Magid, and maybe drip-feed the answers throughout the night, so every so often they get a piece of excitement. But to keep it to the end seems to be a little strange, and the question is, what function it serves b'chlal? So much for Leil Seder. Let's now turn to the Parasha. Parashas Achrei Mos essentially has three sections. The first deals with Avodas Yom Kippurim, and the second is Shchutei Chutz. The third is the Parsha of Arayos. There doesn't seem to be an immediate connection between these three, especially because, as the beginning of the Parsha makes clear, the Misa of Nodav Naviu seems to bring about the Avoida of Yom HaKippurim, or at least the Halachas thereof, and that occurred in Parsha Shemini. So there was a gap of Tazria Matzera, and then we come to Achrei Mos, but the rest just seems to be placed there with no good reason. So the answer starts in the Haftarah for Parshas Devarim, in Shabbos Chazayim, where Yeshaya, Berak Aleph of Yeshaya, Yeshaya tells Klal Yisrael that they are less able than the animal kingdom. Yoda Sher Koneu. The ox is aware of its master. Chamoir Evus Ba'olov. The chamoir at least is aware of who brings the food. And if it's not as good as the sher, but some level of understanding, some level of yediyah. Whereas, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, Yisrael lo yoda. Comes to Klal Yisrael, that level of Yudea is not there. Why? Ami lo hisboino. Because Klal Yisrael don't think. That's what the Novi tells us is the problem. And in fact, Rabbi Lef says, with regards to the Lashenus HaGa'ula in Parshas Ha'era, that the first four happen on autopilot. Tetsi, v'tzalti, v'ka'alti, v'lakafti. It just happens. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'll take care of the details. But when it comes to the last expression of Ga'ula, it's in a separate posuk, and it's separated by a clause, by a condition. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you want the fifth expression of Ga'ula? There's something that you have to do to make it happen. And what is that? V'yedartem ki ani Hashem aleichem hamitzi eschem mitachas sivleis Mitzrayim. Then v'hevesi. V'yedartem. There has to be a level of recognition, a level of reflection, a level of understanding. Stum to do things? If we do things stum, even if they are things of great value, they're not going to last. Because they didn't penetrate. They were instinctive. They were done on the occasion, because of the occasion. But it's not going to have an after effect. Because it hasn't become part of who I am. It was almost happenstance that made it take place in the first place. And therefore, when we discuss the various reasons why Nod of Naviu, why their fate was that they were killed. So there are different opinions. Gemara, Rishonim, the fact that they were Shasuya Yayin, the fact that Lo Noklu Eitza, the fact that they were Mira Halacha Bifnei Rabbah. All of these reasons have one underlying fault, and that is there isn't enough proper reasoned thought. There isn't enough reflection. And therefore, Shasuya Yayin, I mean, that's the most obvious. It just removes any type of das, as the Gemara in Erevin tells us. Lo notlu eitza, no hagufa. That's the problem. Meira halacha b'fnei rabba means they're not adequately thinking through the issue. So there isn't the yedia, and therefore their fate is that they die. It wasn't that they were trying to do something wrong. Faket. They were trying to achieve greatness. But if it isn't thought through, if there isn't a hisboinenus, a yedia that accompanies it, then the results, the consequences, are often fatal. And in fact, this is what's mapped out for the Kohen God at the beginning of Achrei Mos. On the one hand, ki vayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem, letaher eschem mikol chatoiseichem. It's an unbelievable opportunity that Yom Kippur offers the Kohen Gadol and Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, Va'al Yovei B'chol Eis El HaKodesh. You can't just go in. B'zois Yovei Arin. There has to be a mahalach. There has to be a reasoned understanding of what I'm doing. And that translates into action. And from that, a person grows on an ongoing basis. And therefore, the contrast to that, we're talking about bringing korban, not even a view, bringing the machtos to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The outcome, if there's no yedia, is what the Novi Yeshaya says: Mi bikesh zois miyetchem, remois chatzeroi. Who needs your korbanos? Just stum, just action, doesn't take you anywhere. The same is obviously true of shchutei chutz. Here is a person who wants to bring a korban. Novos, as a result of their own reasoning, the way they see it, Chveis, for whatever reason, they can't make it to the Beis HaMikdash. Or they believe that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael suffices, they can bring a korban in their back garden. For whatever calculation they arrived at, it's not one that is correct. It's not one where there has been proper reflection. And therefore, rather than bringing about a tikkun, there's a chiyuv kores. It's a very fine line here. Between doing something because I'm inspired to do it, or doing something, taking that inspiration and using it to create something which is correct. And that, therefore, is reflected in the third chelik, the third parasha in Achrimos, in the parasha of Arias. Any relationship is based on the concept of giving, of there being a mutual activity that is undertaken by both sides. And in fact, in Parashas Kedoshim, when these aspects of Erva are repeated, we describe the relationship, the forbidden relationship, between a brother and a sister as an act of chesed. Chesed. We're talking about something which is an issur d'oraisa, for which one gets the death penalty, and yet the Torah describes it as chesed. Something that, even in today's society, where everything goes, even so, that would still be somewhat shocking. Torah talks about it, describes it as chesed. Because ultimately, it is an act of giving. Not only that, but there is a makor to it. Olam chesed yibonah relates to the fact that our whole existence was built on the fact that a brother married their sister. If Cain and Hevel wouldn't have married their sisters, the world wouldn't exist. The world exists from a chesed. So there's a source for it. Except that that isn't the source that should be. And therefore, instead of creating life, it brings about death. And in truth, that is also the underlying chait of Yom Kippur itself. Why did they build the Egel? So with the cheshbonos that they made personally, they came with a demand to Ari. This wasn't a reasoned argument that they took to the Sanhedrin, or that they consulted Aaron and Hur to find out what they should do. They decided that this is what Klal Yisrael needs, and they built themselves an Egel. Was it totally wrong? Clearly not. Because not long afterwards, as a kapara for the Egel, we are told to build Kruvim also out of gold. And it's from there, Vnei Adati. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur comes to Klal Yisrael. So clearly, it's not completely out of the picture. But it doesn't come about in the correct way. And therefore, instead of creating life, it brings about death. And again, in Parashas Achrimos, the Gemara that tells us, Al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha, the Gemara relates it to the Maisach Teres brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the way in which we carry it out, which is not as the Tzedekim define it. And the Gemara tells us on the concept of Al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha, about the Kohen Gadol, who year after year carried out the Avodah as it should be. And then at the end, couldn't resist adding their own little Havana to how the Maisach Torah should be carried out. And bore the ultimate responsibility for it, and died as a result. The contrast to that is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is being led out to his death by the Romans. And his Talmidim say to him, what are you doing? He says, well, what do you think I'm doing? I'm being Kira Kriya Shema. What else should I be doing now? At this moment in time, this is what Halacha is telling me. that I should have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavacha, b'chol nafshacha, b'chol moideacha. So I'm being Kerei Kriyashma. My own feelings at that moment in time, my own ideas at that moment, it's very nice. And without inspiration, we wouldn't get places. But it has to be sublimated into a framework of Torah. It has to fit in with that which exists. There is plenty of place for chiddush. As long as that chiddush is part and parcel of Torah. As long as it fits into the framework. And that's Parshas Achrimos. The idea that the Kohen Gadol, Al Yobi B'chol Eis, but there is a time that they can come, and they're going to do something which is totally mechudosh. They only do this once a year. And so too, bring in Karbonus. And so too, the concept of the relationship. But as long as it fits in. And therefore, when it comes to Seder night, fifth kois, that fifth kois requires us to understand that the Geula is in our hands. But it needs us to finish the job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yedatim, we need to do something on reflection, on a reasoned understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. That will bring about the Geula. Where does the Echad Mi'odea fit into this? So, in a way, it's slightly counterintuitive. It works as follows. There is this game that they play in psychology, which amateurs can indulge in as well, as long as you don't mind revealing too much about yourself. And that is, you sit opposite somebody, and they throw a word at you, and before you have time for the defences to rise, you instinctively have to respond with an associated word. They throw any word at you, you have to, on the spot, respond with another word. And it's very, very revealing. Right? The best thing to do if you want to know more about yourself is play this game with somebody you do not know at all, because otherwise you might be embarrassed by the results. Either way, what happens here is that instinctively you're responding. So, if I say the word knife and somebody responds with the word fork, we're fine. If I say the word knife and they say the word body, so you probably don't want to go around there in the evenings. But the concept is that this is a reaction without thought. The Echad Mi'odea is a reaction without thought. When I say one, what should the automatic, instinctive answer be? One? Kodesh Baruch Hu. What else? Five? Torah. Six? Mishnah. That is what the number represents. Isn't that the opposite of everything that we've been saying? No. Because it comes at the end of an evening in which I've reinforced my emunah. The evening is called Leil Seder. Seder means there is a structure. There is an order that I follow. And at the end of it, I achieve a level where it now is instinctive, but only as a result of the input of Leil Seder. Having planted all the way through the evening, I should hopefully walk away from Leil Seder with a greater understanding and as a result, a greater instinctive response. But only because it follows Leil Seder. So what about Tisha Yarche Leda? Where does that fit in? So Rav Shach in his Haggadah talks about the idea that Tisha Yarche Leda is almost the same concept as we find three occasions in Torah, in the Medrash, of Mu'at Shehichzik Es HaMeruba. It is an unbelievable miracle that takes place. But we brush it off. Yes, we're aware that this is a marvel, but beyond that, it doesn't really affect us. And the famous Ramban, towards the end of Parashas Boy, which tells us that min ha-nisim ha-mufursomim, by reflecting, by understanding, by thinking about
the more public, the more obvious Nisim that took place, I am able to see Nais in the broader context. I'm able to see Nais within Teva. And therefore, the Echad Mi'edea, the Leil Seder, should not only have brought about a change in areas where change is more apparent and more obvious, but even in other places, even in areas where I would perhaps not give too much thought. Those also require an awakening and a reflection of Emunah. One last idea, and that is the Dayenus. The Dayenus are very nice, at least for the first bit. But then the Baal Hagoda seems to have run away with himself. So, you know, Osso Belehem, Horagus Bechareim, Nosn Lonus Mamoinom, Kora Lonus Hayam, okay, it wasn't Leil Seder, but took place on Pesach. Nosn Lonus Atera, okay, Beseder, fine, but that's not quite Pesach. Shikat Serena Besechai, and that's in the Yom Suf, fine, okay, still there. The fact that 40 years in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for us. Okay, that's not Pesach, I'm not sure it's even. And then, Ichnisonu brought us into Eretz Yisrael, and Bon Alonu Es Beis HaBechira. So, I mean, the first Beis HaMikdash, the chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash was Yom Kippur, Sukkos. Very little to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not only that, but of course the Dor that came out of Mitzrayim, at least the men, didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael, so we're talking about a different Dor, and by the time we're talking about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, we're hundreds of years down the line. What shaychus has it got to Leil Seder? What shaychus has it got to Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's not as if we couldn't have put other things in. We don't even mention the Makos in Dayenu. Isn't that something over which we should say Dayenu? Another question, and that is, there are Be'etzem, four psukim of Magid. Those are the four psukim which we find in the beginning of Parshas Kisafai. The psukim that are said when somebody brings Bikurim. Arami Oved Ovi, we went down to Mitzrayim, we were enslaved, we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the Oasis of Amoksin. Four things. Went down, enslaved, cried out, redeemed. That is the whole of Magid Mitzad, the psukim in the Torah. The interesting thing is that these four psukim are not taken from Sefer Shmos. And it's not as if we lack material in Sefer Shmos for these four ideas. Why did we have to go all the way to Parshas Kisavo to find these psukim? So there's something very interesting, something unique about the mitzvah of Bikurim. And that is, Bikurim is the only mitzvah that needs a number of elements to come together for its kiyum. First of all, a person has to be free. They can't be an eved. Secondly, they have to be somebody who obviously is a Shomer Torah mitzvah, otherwise they wouldn't be mekayem this mitzvah in the first place. Thirdly, they need to own land in Eretz Yisrael. In order to be mevi v'koirei, they need to own land in Eretz Yisrael. And there needs to be a mishkan or a beis hamikdash where they bring the bikurim. You need all those four elements. There's no other mitzvah like it. Korbanos doesn't require you to own land in Eretz Yisrael. Trumas and Maestros doesn't require there to be a beis hamikdash. So that only mitzvahs bikurim needs you to be free with the Torah in Eretz Yisrael and a beis hamikdash. And that's when we say these four psukim, Arami Oved Ovi. That's when we talk about going down to Mitzrayim, when we bring this mitzvah of Bikurim. Why? Because Bikurim is a retrospective. Bikurim allows us to look back and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know something? The purpose for which you took us out of Mitzrayim wasn't just that we shouldn't be building pyramids.
You took us out of Mitzrayim with a tachlis, to give us the Torah, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. I am now the kiyum of that which you took us out of Eretz Yisrael for. Because I can only be bringing Bikurim if all of those four have taken place. I'm free, the Torah's been given, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a Beis HaMikdash. I'm the kiyum of it. And the same thing is true for the Baal HaGadah. The Baal HaGadah says, don't make the mistake of thinking that Yetzias Mitzrayim was simply coming out of Egypt. It's much more than that. That was a milestone, but not the end of the journey. We needed to pick up the Torah. But even then, although we can fulfill many mitzvahs and chutz la'aretz, that's not our land. So it needed to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us into Eretz Yisrael. But even that, that's not the apex of it. There has to be a Mokoyim Hashras Hashchina, even in a place which has got Kedusha. But this creates a greater connection, a greater sense of Kedusha. And therefore, on Leil Seder, it's important for us to reflect on the fact that Leil Seder is not the be-all and end-all. If it wouldn't connect to Shavuos and to Sukkos and to there being a Beis HaMikdash, we still wouldn't be there. The Dayenus are perfectly apportioned. It needs to continue beyond Pesach itself, because we need to be aware of why there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just what. We have to think. We have to understand. We have to realize why Yetzias Mitzrayim took place. And that has its fulfillment in the mitzvah of Bikurim. And therefore, Dayenus is looking forward, Bikurim is a retrospective, but both of them are making us aware. Both of them are allowing us to realize that Yetzias Mitzrayim happened for a far greater purpose. And hopefully, by going through a Leil Seder with adequate understanding and reflection, we firstly arrive at Echad Mi'Eidea and are able to answer these questions even without thought. But much more than that, that we are able to take away Leil Seder, the Emunah that we've achieved there, and take it and build with it the rest of the year.